Welcome to the Aster Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Aster Investment Management. I'm joined today by friend and colleague Nick Porter. Nick, hello.
Hey, John.
So we're recording this on Thursday, the 10th of February, a little bit after the January CPI numbers came out. And we thought that we would go into the CPI numbers. But first, Nick, do you want to give me your U.S. economy in a nutshell?
I would say that I am more optimistic about the economy than I have been in the past month or two. And that's really based on less some of the softer numbers like PMIs, which declined quite a bit. But actually, corporate earnings have made me a little bit more optimistic about the corporate sector and the ability to pass on prices and net profit. So I think overall, I'm still fairly optimistic, although we have seen some signs of weakening, or at least returning to trend is probably a better way of putting it, and things like PMIs.
Yeah, that's a fair characterization of the PMIs, right? There's a bunch of them. Most of them are still high, though well off their extremes. And I would agree with that. The economy just still seems to be quite strong. And definitely you feel a momentum shift in the sort of the zeitgeist in the last 2 or 4 weeks, where it feels like the last remaining restrictions are going to go away. You see more notes about people being forced back to their offices, at least part-time. I think Goldman just said that recently. So things going back to normal faster, I think, is on the offing. What is not going back to normal is CPI, or maybe this is the new normal. I like that. That's a very slick transition, I thought.
Well done.
So CPI numbers today, month on month, headline CPI up 0.6% month on month, as same at core is up the same, 0.6. Year on year, CPI up 7.5%, core up 6%. These are very high numbers. These are very high numbers, and they are not moderating.
They're not, and they're getting more and more broad-based. So I think like some relief was seen this month in things like used cars and new cars, which didn't increase nearly as much as they have in the past. And that's kind of a good sign that maybe there's some catch up there. But you've seen it in services. You're starting to see a little bit of pickup in owner's equivalent rent and housing prices. You're seeing it in food prices. You're seeing it in energy prices. So there really isn't much relief that's on the immediate horizon, at least for now.
Yeah. And so used cars and trucks up 40% year on year, but they're only 4% of the basket right now. So you know, they go back down to, so they could be down negative 40%. They're not going to take away all of the hike in CPI. When you mentioned owner's equivalent rent, that's the biggest contributor by far to CPI. That's about 24%. The next highest would be food at about 13%, food out at 13%. And both of those are high. Owner's equivalent rent is around 4% year on year. Food is about 6 or 7% year on year, depending on the exact series. And the owner's equivalent rent, the way they do it, some more increase of that is baked in the cake. So I guess what people are saying is, gosh, this could be the year of durable goods inflation coming, moderating or even going into deflation while services pick up a little bit.
I mean, that's interesting that you really didn't see that in this report, but it's kind of the hope that we've all held out for the inflation story is that there's some sort of return to historical consumption patterns, meaning a preference for services right over goods. In this report, you saw goods inflation up by 12.3% year over year. And services, meanwhile, were up 4.6% year over year. So the goods portion hasn't really moderated. And now the service portion is starting to pick up a little bit. So that's perhaps a little bit worrying.
Yeah. And also, like, it's hard to emphasize enough how radical a change this durable goods number is compared to the recent history. Durable goods annual inflation was negative all the way from 2013 to 2020. And now it's up 11, 12% over the last year. So a huge, huge change there. And, you know, I guess what I also see is, again, there's no real moderation in the month-on-month numbers. Maybe they're stabilizing if you squint, but maybe they're still going up. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. And I think all this is a little bit worrying, but I have to say my base case for 2022 is still that we end up with inflation somewhere in the 3% range, or at least quite a bit closer to the Fed's target. and why that is, I guess, is still that we're going to see some normalization of demand patterns as fiscal stimulus rolls off and things sort of get back to normal, A, and then B, we'll see some normalization in supply chains as well. But of course, we've been saying that for about 6 months now.
Yeah, like, I don't see how it's 3% mathematically now, right? Like, we're already, so even core inflation, right, is already up 0.6% for the year. So we got 11 more months. So what it has to average? 2% a month for you?
That's a good point. I guess more in the direction of lower, that we're not going to be above, say, 6.5 for the entire, for the
year. Oh, right. So then in the last quarter, we were running at an annualized rate of 3%. Maybe. You know, I was an inflation skeptic for a long time, but I think I've been beaten into a state of reasonableness by the price, by the ticker.
How I learned to love the price.
So this brings up the question of what the Fed is going to do. The Fed's next meeting is on the 15th and 16th of March, so a month away. We have another payroll number and another CPI number intervening. So let's talk two things. Like, let's talk about what we think the Fed's going to do and what we would do if we were on the Fed board. My baseline for the Fed has not changed. The Fed is going to stop purchasing bonds and is going to raise rates 25 basis points at the next meeting. 25 basis points, but not 50. I think they have to go 25. But I also think that the next 2 weeks before the quiet period are going to be really interesting. And I think that if the Fed is thinking about going 50 basis points, they have to say something, right? Like, Powell has to say something, and he doesn't have any speeches scheduled. There's not a lot of speeches scheduled in the next 2 weeks, but somebody has to say something if they're going to go more than 25. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, interestingly enough, 50 basis points is probably on the table. The market has sort of prepared itself for that. If you look at the implied rate from Fed funds futures on March 16th, you get actually 0.42. So more people than not think that we're going to get 50 basis points instead of 25 basis points for a rate hike. And that does sort of open the door to the Fed. As you've said, they really would need to get on that sort of communication in a bit of a hurry here, probably within the next week or so. If I were a policymaker, I'd probably keep it at 25 bips, but I might start talking or even doing quite a bit more aggressive on the balance sheet side of things.
The other thing is that you could raise 25 basis points a meeting for the rest of the year, right? And that gives you 6 hikes for the rest of the year. 6 or 7? 7, right? 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
And I know, like, the thing about surprising them, you surprise the market for a reason, right? The Bundesbank liked to surprise the market just for fun, it seemed like. But the Fed surprised the market for the reason, right? Like, you want to shock it. And so the shock you'd be wanting to give the market is, look, we're going to drive the economy into recession to, if necessary, to get inflation under control. And that has not been the message so far, right? The Fed doesn't have its hair on fire. The Fed's like, yeah. Like, we're on it. So I guess, yeah, I would agree. I would vote for 25 basis points. And so it sounds like also, this might be getting a little bit in the weeds, but they want to get rid of their MBS holdings and hold only treasuries. And because of the duration of the MBS that they hold, they're going to have to start selling stuff, right? Like, they're going to have to take an absolute positive action. They're not going to be able to passively let them roll off. So I think selling MBS at least is in the offing as well. And so, yeah, so I guess I would summarize that as looking for the Fed. Our baseline for the Fed hasn't changed, but the next week or so, week to 10 days, pay extra attention to what the Fed speakers are saying.
Yeah, and I would just add to that is that, though our expectation may not have changed radically, the markets definitely has. They are pricing in a more aggressive path, both in the March meeting and over the next year. And you've seen that in the markets quite clearly.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there, short and sweet. We'll be back in about 10 days to talk about a mid-month update. And the next week, we've got the Michigan sentiment, we've got PPI numbers and retail sales, and we'll fill you in on all that sort of later in the month. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, John.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state, or to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.